Life can be hard, but Pastor Ray Bentley says the Son of God wants to help us.
Jesus desires to bear our burdens. You know why? Because it's what he said, his own words. It's easy for me, he said. Your burdens are easy for me, and my yoke is easy. My burden is light. If we will only let him and come to him.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Some days it seems hope is in short supply. All it takes is a phone call, an email, and the bottom can drop out of our lives. Today, Pastor Ray shows us where we can find hope that'll get us through any trial. It's hope based on the solid rock, the reassurance of Jesus Christ himself.
Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. I love this. This is from that rough, tough fisherman, Peter, called to be an apostle. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, here's the verses we're going to look at this morning. I'll read them to you. Verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient," and now he quotes again, "the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Start off with verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone. Going on, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious." Jesus is our living stone. As he begins to talk about him as the cornerstone, basically, what the prophet said is that the Messiah would be a stone, and literally a stone upon which all the weight and the burdens of humanity could be laid. How many would agree we live in a broken world? It's not perfect. It has a lot of problems. We ourselves are broken by sin, and this can create an increasing heaviness in our lives. If you've ever read the story of Pilgrim's Progress, Christian is going through life, and it's a great, brilliant metaphor on life. And he has this sack over his back that is filled with these, you know, like rocks, heavy burdens that just gets heavier and heavier and heavier the further down the road he goes. And that's like life. The more mistakes and the more weaknesses and failures and so forth, things that happen, it just gets heavy, 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 heavy. And then the beautiful part of the story, when he sees the cross, he's finally coming to the cross, and that sack that had been tied, as it were, to his shoulder drops off of his back, and all of its weight goes tumbling down the hill, and he is set free from the weight and the burden and the guilt. And it's a metaphor of sin and the heaviness and the weight of sin being lifted off of his shoulders. Well, the interesting thing is that, imagine the weight. What is the weight of your own life, my own life? How much heaviness is there in one human being in a lifetime of sin and brokenness? Multiply that by 7 billion or so. How heavy is that weight? And that's only our generation. Now add all the layers of generations going all the way back to Adam and Eve. Where are you going to lay the burden and the weight and the guilt and the sin of humanity that it can be held? And that's where the chief cornerstone comes in. Jesus can bear the weight and the burden of me and of you and of all humanity. And that's why God sent him. I love, this is one of my favorite scriptures here at Matthew 11 in your notes, but let's try to read Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30 out loud. Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love this. Jesus is coming, and he is coming as the living stone. He is saying, come to me. Are you heavy? Are you weighed down? Is your life full of burdens and cares and concerns and depression and despair and discouragement? Come to me and let be yoked together with me. I can bear your burdens. And you will find, and Jesus literally says, this will be your experience. When you come to me, you will find rest for your souls. Isn't that what all of humanity is looking for? Is rest for our weary souls. I love this Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the first part of a prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. So let's read this out loud together. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, the Bible exhorts us to pray for our leaders and lift them up before the Lord. We should pray for our president, for the prime ministers and leaders around the world. But I love this prophecy in Isaiah because I cannot wait for the day when Jesus comes, when finally our 2,000 years of prayers of the church, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus comes back in his second coming, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven comes from heaven to the earth. And at that moment, all the governments of the world and the heavy burdens and responsibilities they bear will be laid upon the shoulders of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And guess what? His shoulders are big enough and broad enough and strong enough. And here's what will be the experience of the world. They will beat their swords into plowshares. They shall learn war no more. That day cannot come soon enough. Amen. We long and look forward to the coming kingdom of the Lord. But talking about weight and burdens and all of this, and then rest, the experience personally that comes to mind is, you know, over the years, I've gone in and out of times where you start exercising and working out. So recently, you know, it's kind of like, okay, I need to start doing this again. But we've got one of those elliptical deals that you can kind of walk, run, and then it's got the arms and you're going like this, right? And so you're supposed to do 30 minutes several times a week, and so I do it. Now, let me just say, it's not fun to me. I don't think it's that fun. There's people that love it. They talk, oh, the endorphins are killing me while I'm on that thing for 30 minutes. Now, you know, and so you're going, and then you're hot, and you're sweating. I mean, I live in Escondido. Hello, it's getting magnified like 8 million times. And so finally, at the end, the last 3 seconds, this little beep comes on to let you know you're done. You beep, beep, beep. Those are the most wonderful sounds in my ears. It's like the Feast of Trumpets for me. And then when I get off, I lay down. I just lay down. And the ceiling is circling around, but I'm laying there. That is the feeling I work out for. That one right there when I'm done, laying on the floor, resting all of my muscles. But, you know, when you think about that, we strive and we yearn and we struggle through life on so many levels. And just, you know, isn't life this way? When one area that you've been worried about and then you pray through and God begins to answer prayer, as soon as one gets kind of batted down, another one pops up over here, Where did that come from? And it just seems to go on and on. Jesus desires to bear our burdens. You know why? Because it's what he said, his own words. It's easy for me, he said. Your burdens are easy for me. And my yoke is easy. My burden is light. If we will only let him and come to him. And so this beautiful prophecy about the chief cornerstone, laying in Zion a cornerstone that is elect and that is precious, and that all of humanity can rest upon this stone. Now, again, verse 4, as he says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, chosen by God, and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, and I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. I love that because he says here, he's talking about this cornerstone, prophetically, that's a quotation, and then he turns around and says, and he who believes on him will not be ashamed. I thought you were talking about a stone. Isn't a stone an it? No, prophetically, that stone is a person, and that person is the Messiah, and on him, if you will believe and trust in him, you will not be put to shame. In other words, you won't regret it. The word stone here, as I mentioned in your notes, is the word lithos, means a building stone, not just a stone, you know, out on the ground somewhere. And whereas God is known as the foundation and strength of his people, it goes on, the prophets say, that that rock is Jesus Christ. He is the stone upon which the church itself rests. And the idea of this cornerstone is that it is perfectly designed. It is shaped and hewn out to be a perfect cornerstone, again, upon which all of humanity can build upon him. And it's not only a stone, it's a living stone, because you'd think of a stone being something that can support massive weight and upon which you can build a structure. Well, Jesus is that stone for humanity, but he is a living stone because he is risen and resurrected from the dead.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We enjoy hearing from our listeners and hearing how they've been blessed through Pastor Ray's teaching on the radio and online.
As a relatively new believer, I find it most helpful to visit Maranatha's website and listen to Ray's messages repeatedly. They seem to speak to my heart and my difficulties with more clarity each time I listen. For this, I am thankful.
Check them out online yourself at maranatharadio.com and drop Pastor Ray an email. Let him know how the program is blessing you. Write Ray at RayBentley.com. That's Ray at RayBentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, I love Israel, and I love going to Israel. And when we're in Israel and you go to the Temple Mount area, which is like my favorite area to go to in Jerusalem, they have some of the foundation stones that go literally all the way back, believe it or not, 3,000 years ago to the days of King Solomon. These stones are so huge, and I always forget how many tons. They're taller than we are and wider and long. I mean, you can't even imagine how big and how much they weigh. How they quarried them in the first place is a feat of engineering genius. And then how they got the stones up on top of other stones with whatever they had available 2,000 years ago is, again, phenomenal. But and this is just the foundation stones. Of course, the temple was destroyed when those stones fell down, but the foundation stones that remain, they're only the foundation, and they are so perfectly made that they fit so tightly together, you can't even get a knife blade between them. There's no mortar. There's no cement holding it. It's just the perfect nature of the stones weighed upon each other and then inset, you know, by degrees a little bit as the walls would go up. It's absolutely breathtaking and it's phenomenal. And the Lord is that living stone. upon which we can build our lives. Look with me in verses 7 and 8. It says, "Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to you who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." Now that's from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. Isaiah lived 700 years before Jesus, the Messiah, came. 700 years. And he is prophesying by the Spirit of the Lord, predicting the future, that when the beloved stone comes, the chief cornerstone that, you know, is metaphorically speaking of the Messiah, Isaiah says he will be rejected. And the Greek word, therefore, rejected means rejected, having been examined or tested. This is phenomenal. You know, you had the religious leaders. Now, let me say from the outset that some did believe in Jesus. Obviously, the entire New Testament, well, almost all of it, was written by Jewish believers. So there were some that did believe, but it was a remnant. But the leadership that studied, I mean, and these guys are lawyers. You know how we have lawyers today that specialize. These were lawyers of the Word of God and the prophecies. They studied it day and night. That's all they did. They knew well all the scriptures, and they knew the prophecies. And when Jesus, the Messiah, the chief cornerstone, came, they, who should have been telling the people about him, rejected him. Why? Well, it's complicated, but from the prophecies that were there for everybody and anybody to read, they had interpreted and therefore imagined a certain kind in their minds of what he would look like, and he did not fit their expectations. And it was unthinkable to them that Jesus could possibly be the cornerstone of God's kingdom. Now, what's interesting is that Jesus is saying, "Here I am, and I and my Father are one," and he's doing the miracles, and he's fulfilling these things. Jesus said to them, "Your interpretation of the scriptures is wrong." They didn't like that. He said, "And your application of how to live the scriptures is also wrong." In fact, he said, for the most part, and he was generalizing, you are leading more people away than you are leading people into a loving relationship with the Father in heaven. And they didn't like that. He was too weak for them. He was too humble. He to overthrow the Romans and establish the Jewish national freedom, which they desired. And then he was finally willing to die such a shameful death on the cross. They just said, "Well, then he cannot be." But ironically, and of course we have the advantage of 2,000 years and plus the grace of God to open our eyes, this is exactly what the prophet said would happen, that God would lay a chief cornerstone and it would be rejected by the builders, the very people who he came to. They rejected him. And yet Jesus did live up to the expectations of the prophets themselves. And so here Peter quotes Psalm 118, verse 22, and Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. And then Peter writes here, I believe it's in verse 8, they stumble being disobedient to the word. Because here's what can happen. You have expectations of what the Lord will do. You read his word. You have your own ideas, your own maybe interpretations. Out of those interpretations come expectations. And when your expectations are not met, well, I thought it would be like this if I gave my life to Christ and it hasn't happened at all. Well, then maybe it's not even true. Whoa, watch out. You're in the very same dangerous ground, the sinking sand, as the Pharisees themselves. God does not come to meet our expectations or how we think things should be in our lives. He has his own ideas, his own priorities, his own agenda, and we're always, you know, often the last to know what really is priority and important. We must be very careful and humble and let God bring His word to pass and let Him live it out in our lives and answer our prayers according to His will. Prayer is not about me getting my will done. Prayer is about discovering His will and having His will done in my life. Well, so 1 Peter 2:8, I put this out of the NIV in your notes. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Now, this is interesting. Because on the one hand, you have human free choice. They had free choice. They could either receive Jesus or they could reject Him. And they were freely able to do that. And they exercised their choice to reject Him. And in the same breath of the same verse is God's foreordination. That they were, this was part of their destiny. God foreknew, and therefore there it was. So God's will, and here's the interesting thing. You've got free will and kind of this destiny all wrapped up in one breath. Peter doesn't try to explain it. And guess what? Paul talks about both, you know, human free choice and God's sovereignty, and he doesn't really explain it beyond a certain level as well. So what does that mean? It means that with the free will God's given us, we can't blame God for the choices we make. We're responsible, and whosoever will can call on the name of the Lord and be saved.
Some good clarification from Pastor Ray Bentley today from our studies in 1 Peter. Glad you've joined us here on Maranatha Radio. And today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention Our Foundation Stone. We'll be happy to send it to you for a gift of any size. Again, the title, Our Foundation Stone. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 1 Peter on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available a tool called Fast 40, Calling for God's Heavenly Fire, that will help listeners bring God's power and influence into their lives through prayer, an elevated form of prayer called fasting. What can be accomplished through fasting that can't through other forms of prayer?
That's a great question, Dave. The Bible talks a lot about fasting. The prophets did that in the Old Testament. Jesus laid the foundation for the beginning of His ministry to fast 40 days. I'm asking people to ask the Holy Spirit, lead and guide you, that He will bring something to your mind that you would be willing to sacrifice, to let go of, to stop doing for 40 days. For me, this time it was meat. You know, I got the idea from Daniel. He would not eat the king's meat, and he set aside a time. So this is something that I've been doing. And in this booklet, we have a daily devotion. The theme is fire. I believe that when we get serious with God, and fasting and praying is a way of saying, God, I'm serious. I want a breakthrough. I want to hear from You. I want to connect with You. When we get serious with God, guess what? God gets serious with us. And the veil between the natural and the spiritual realm gets very thin. I think you get sensitized to hearing the voice of the Lord, being able to receive downloads of direction, divine words of encouragement. The word comes alive. Your prayer life becomes focused, laser-like, powerful, literally on fire. So I feel like many people are seeing, sensing, feeling like, I need to do something for the times in which I live. I really need to grab hold of God's call and purpose on my life. This may be the very key you're looking for a supernatural breakthrough. And I'd love to send you this book. Plus, there's a little bit where you can daily kind of write and describe what God is speaking to you and showing you about.
All right. Well, we hope you'll join us in this 40-day time of intimacy with the Lord. Let us send you this prayer journal called Fast 40, Calling for God's Heavenly Fire. We're sending it right now to say thank you for your gift of any amount to help us keep bringing Pastor Ray's teaching to you each day. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at raybentley.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 1 Peter. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.